Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. How are you doing? How is your heart? How's your life? How's your body? How's your health? Let's take a moment just to hold ourselves the way we are right here, right now. So if you want, you can place a hand to your heart. You can close your eyes and just, we won't be here too long, but just take a moment to hold yourself in this place. Meaning whatever is going on in your life right now. You know, whatever struggles you're facing, whatever beauty is present in your life, whatever joy and sorrow is here now, just take this moment right now to be with everything that is. Like, this is your life. This is this moment. This is now. This is where you are. And we take a long, deep, full breath in and out. And if you want, you can just stay here with your hand to your heart, just staying present with yourself as you listen to this show. Or if you want, you can flutter the eyes open. Hey. I'm having a lot of these moments lately, just little touch points where without, you know, anchoring into like a full meditation session or anything like that, just little moments where I place my hand to my heart, I close my eyes and I hold myself. Someone asked me today, a journalist asked me today, I was doing an interview for a wellness magazine, and a journalist asked me, you know, what is self-love? And how do you move towards self-love? And I answered, you know, for me, self-love really is allowing myself to be the way I am, holding myself in every way, even the parts of me that I have deemed bad or ugly or shameful. That for me is the practice of self-love. I don't think self-love is like, you know, looking in the mirror going, oh my God, I love myself so much. I mean, it's that too. Or like waking up one day and all of a sudden we just feel this overwhelming sense of compassion for ourselves. For me, the self-love, it's really a practice, you know, and it's anchoring into that again and again throughout the day, our ability to hold ourselves the way we are, no matter what is going on, right? So even when we are useless, we're not doing anything, even when we make mistakes, when we fuck up, you know, when we do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing, when we're ashamed, when we're not pretty, you know, when we're feeling petty or jealous or guilty, like all of those things, when we're angry and sad, and being able to sit with ourselves in those moments and hold ourselves then too, and allow and accept ourselves in those moments too, you know, those parts of ourselves too. That for me is is the practice of self-love. And it's so funny because, you know, I struggle with this so much. I've struggled with self-love my entire life. And the reason, or kind of how that's manifested, is I've been really good at celebrating myself when I do good, you know, like I ace something or I create something or I produce something awesome or I perform in a good way. I can pat myself on the shoulder and go, good job, Rachel. Like you're really good at all those things. But then when I'm not quote unquote good, you know, when I'm bad or when I'm sick, like right now I'm super ill, when I feel like worthless, like I'm not producing anything, when I'm lazy, you know, when I'm jealous of other people's successes, when I'm not present with my friends, when I'm a bad friend or a bad mom or a bad wife, you know, when I'm not in that state of doing great, you know, then all of a sudden I start rejecting myself. I start bypassing myself and my entire experience in all of those moments. And I jump into, ooh, that's a bad feeling. Let me go fix that. Let me go do something great, produce something, like make myself feel seen somehow so I can skip that feeling of worthlessness. And going about it that way means we spend so much time in our day denying ourselves, you know, rejecting ourselves, not holding ourselves the way we are, telling ourselves that we're only good and lovable when we do good things, but we're not lovable anymore when we just are. You know, in my essence of being, when there's no doing, then I'm not worthy, right? I have to do and create and be good to be lovable. And I'm so in that practice now of holding myself all the time, all the time, especially in those moments when, man, I feel like the smallest human being in the universe right now. You know, I feel like so totally hopeless and worthless and something's wrong with me. And instead of jumping into that fixing place of how can I make myself feel better or how can I do better so then I can accept myself, right? To just be with that, place my hand on my heart and hold myself in that moment of feeling totally worthless and acknowledge that, yeah, that's me too, you know. Rachel is not just the Rachel that feels great and that's successful and that can pat myself on the back when I do good, you know, that's capable and able and all of that. Like, there's also me feeling small. There's also me feeling worthless. There's also me feeling like I'm doing something wrong all the time. Okay, let me be with that part of myself because that part is just as valid as the part of me that does important stuff all day long. You know, it's all me. And I spent so much of my life rejecting big parts of myself and then trying to love the other pieces, you know? And it doesn't, like, that's just been such a huge epiphany for me. Like, it really, truly doesn't work that way. We are one whole being. We are not fragmented and separate into these different pieces, you know? We're one whole being. And self-love, it's like, I gotta love and hold all of me. Even those parts that I have deemed unworthy or shameful or bad. I don't get to pick and choose. And when I reject certain parts, I reject all of me. That's it. It's like full rejection or full compassion. It's full rejection or full separation. There's no halfway point. And it's a practice. You know, I gotta tell you, it's a practice. Like even now, I had some super strange news, like literally right before recording this show. Also, by the way, I pushed recording this show as much as I could because I really wanted this to be the podcast that I got to open and say, surprise, I'm feeling amazing. All of my spiritual work is working. All of my physical health stuff is working and I'm feeling fantastic again. I can't wait for that podcast to arrive. Like, I trust it's gonna eventually. But yeah, I'm entering week 7 of this pneumonia-related illness right now. And you can tell by my voice, like I'm not great. And of course, you know, I push this podcast because I want to be the good Rachel, right? I want to show the world the healthy Rachel, the Rachel that feels amazing. Like there's a part of me that feels like I'm doing something wrong. Otherwise I wouldn't be sick, right? So I want to like get it right and be amazing and feel fantastic and, you know, be inspirational and motivate you to live your best life because look at me living my best life. And it's like, I look at my life right now, like, this is not my best life, you know, but this is my life. This is my life right now. This is the life I have in this moment. This is it now, here, now, you know. And I can't change it, you know, no matter how. And I've shared that in the past couple of podcasts. Like, I've tried really, really hard and still here I am. So instead of denying this life or rejecting this life or deeming this life as, like, you know, not as worthy or good as me living my best life. You know, what does that even mean? Live your best life. Like, that's a shit ton of pressure. I hear that saying or that, like, term so much. Like, you got to live your best life. I want to be living my best life and being my best self. And it's like, what is that even? What is that even? Like, who invented that term? My best life. I don't want the pressure of having to, like, perform at 110% at every moment of the day for everything to align so that my life is the best life. You know, how about, like, a good life? Like, I honestly, like, I would settle for a good life, just a good life. Like, I would settle for just good health, you know, like a good mindset, like a good dynamic in my life where just things are good. They don't have to be the best, you know. I would be super happy if things were just, like, good. And since oftentimes we don't really get the opportunity to pick and choose, you know, when life is going to be the best life or the worst life, it's like those things just come our way and it's out of our control. Shit happens. Life happens, right? So maybe where we need to settle is just living life and skip that big pressured label of it having to be the best or really good, you know. And for me, that's my spiritual journey now. It's like, okay, when life is just life, can I just be here with what is? Can I accept and allow and just be with the flow of what is coming my way? And maybe even at some point of my life, actually, you know, become comfortable with the fluctuations of it all. And maybe even begin expecting that life isn't supposed to be good all the time or epic all the time or the same all the time. It's like we all know everything is cyclical. That pendulum swings back and forth. We go from great to bad to awesome to mundane to not great and back up again. You know, that's what life is. And still, every time we go from bad to not good, you know, or we go from great to feeling not great, I mean, we're like shocked. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong with the universe? What's wrong with my life? Oh my God, let me figure everything out and put all the puzzle pieces together perfectly and hold on really tight. And then maybe I'll get back to great again, you know, instead of letting go and going, oh, okay, I'm back in this phase now, you know. And I'm so bad at this. Like, I really, really am. I can talk circles about all of this, you know, so much. I can intellectualize it and, like, understand that concept of my head. But still, every time when something quote unquote bad happens or an obstacle comes my way, I'm like surprised again. What? Why? Why is that here? Can I get back to living my best life, please? Like, I don't want the pneumonia version of that life. No, I want the version of my life where I'm running every day feeling fantastic. Can I go back there, please? And it's like, apparently not, you know, the letting go, the letting go, the letting go. Just returning to that again and again. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet.
Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
So yeah, this is where I am. Few big things that kind of have shifted a bit this week. You know, I've had this very kind of depressed mindset, or I've been in a really depressed state of mind for almost a month, trying to be on the couch. Like, I've had a lot of internal stress, and also physically feeling awful is exhausting. You know, every day having another day feeling physically terrible, it sucks. It sucks. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like, oh, it's fine. Like, it's not fine. It really sucks. But on Friday, so our best friends are here, and my best friend Olivia, we're going to do a podcast together, by the way. I know you guys are waiting for a show with Olivia. It's just been hard with all of the stuff we have going on. But Olivia's mom turned 70 this weekend. I'm super close to her. She's an amazing woman. And they rented this little house, the same house I rented back in December when I went to go have some alone time. So it's this beautiful house with a big dock right on the ocean. So it's like, I mean, actually the house is not great. Like, I dream of acquiring that property and I would just probably bulldoze the house to the ground because the house is super weird. But you're not even in the house. It's like this amazing dock right on the ocean. It's totally private. It's just you're in the sea or on the sea all day. Like, you don't spend any time inside. And just in the water, you know. And then on Friday, they all went there, spending the weekend there. And then Dennis took Leia there. And I was on the couch feeling so, 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 so sorry for myself. Like, this was like my peak worst, like, couple of days. Like, I was just feeling so awful. And I was so tired and so sad and feeling so shitty. I didn't even have the energy to turn the lights on in the house. I was like lying in the dark, which I never do. Like, I always, even when I'm sick, like every day we light candles in the evening. Like, we always have like ambiance. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably see we have like orange or like really warm red hues all around the house. I'm a Libra. I'm all about ambiance. So for me to lie in the dark in a pitch black house is really weird. And I just didn't have the energy to like turn the lights on, you know, and I'm just lying on the couch. And then I go to Dennis's, like, I see Dennis posted an Instagram story. And in this story, it just shows this amazing sunset, like in this place where they are. When the sun is about to set, everyone's swimming, everyone's laughing. There's just so much freedom and joy, and everyone's in the ocean and everyone's together, right? And I'm not. This is like our little community, and I'm not there. And I just started bawling. Like, I'm just lying on the couch, crying, feeling so sorry for myself, feeling the biggest FOMO ever, you know? And I decided, like, okay, tomorrow, no matter how I feel, even if I feel worse, I'm going to pack a little bag and I'm going to head over there and like spend some time by the sea. Like, I don't care what happens. I'm going over there. And the funny thing is, like, I did that in the morning, brought Leia, went there. And as soon as I got to the ocean, it was like something in my soul just, it was like a big exhale. And it didn't change anything in terms of how, like, physically, you know, what was going on with my body, like not being able to breathe and coughing and my ears, and I have sinus stuff and all this stuff. It didn't really change any of that. But just, it was for my soul. Like, I could sense just my soul exhaling, in a sense. And it shifted my mindset. It brought some ease into my mind. Like, it put an end to that kind of negative, like, victimized thinking I've been really stuck in. And, you know, I was totally resting. It wasn't like I was running around or doing anything crazy. I was just lying on the couch there, like, on this little, like, couch daybed thing on the dock. One in the ocean, came out of the ocean, my ear popped for the first time. Like, my ears have been blocked for 10 days now. And that day was the first, then it'd been 5 days or something then, but it was the first time I could hear for a moment through one of my ears, and then it closed again, but still, like, I had a moment. And I'm just lying there, like, reading a book, drinking a smoothie, you know, having people around me, like some sunshine, some ocean. By the end of that day, I felt totally different, you know, totally, totally different. And it's not that all of a sudden, you know, my illness went away, but really, like, having some optimism in our lives is a deal breaker. And we know that. We know that, that the sicker we feel, the harder it is to heal. You know, it's like mindset is a big component to healing, feeling hopeful, mental health. It's like our mental health gets worse as our physical health deteriorates. So finding something to snap us out of that bad mental state, I think, can go a really long way to actually healing physical stuff in our bodies too. And I'm just so grateful I got to have that whole day like in the ocean and just surrounded by people and laughter. And no, it was so good. So Sunday, Monday, like the couple of days after that, I was starting to feel incrementally like a little bit better every day. Not a ton, but just a little bit better every day. And of course, it brought me this feeling of like, it's happening, you know? And I'm trying to not jinx it. I'm like, just every day I slept a little better. I woke up with less of a headache. My ears are a little better, like coughing a little less. And it's just like, okay, it's slow, but at least I can feel like I'm healing now, you know? Because you don't feel like you're healing when you feel worse every day. At least it's like, it's very, very minor and slow, but there is like some hope, right? And then the next day I woke up in the morning and I was so much worse, so much worse. And now I'm back in that place of like, okay, I can't figure this out. Truly can't. I just have to go with the flow. I have no other choice.
What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co.
Something that I'm sitting with really, really, really deeply, and that feels like every time I sit down in meditation, or I sit with tea. I'm sitting with my tea ceremony every day, or in tea ceremony every day. I can't take my mind off of what happened in my childhood that's connected to how I'm feeling right now. I really can't. I can't stop thinking about this. Like, I really, really, really have this feeling like the big things that came my way when I was exactly Leia's age. You know, I believe that watching our children in the same age that we were when something really hard or traumatic happened in our lives when we were kids, watching our kids at that same age, I think it draws this big ancestral parallel in our lives. You know, I think it awakens the trauma from back then when our kids become that same age. I don't think it's a huge coincidence that, you know, it was when I was four, right before I turned four, I had my first ever big asthma attack that like hospitalized me. And like that started this big, big, big time in my life where I was in and out of the hospital, where I was always having asthma attacks. Like it really happened when I was exactly the same age that Leia is now. I don't think that it's a coincidence that I'm struggling with my asthma now as an adult, 32 years old, watching my child in the exact same age I was when it happened to me the first time. And I know it sounds woo-woo and new agey, but I truly, wholeheartedly believe that there is a massive connection there. Yes, and I also think certain things are out of my control, and, you know, COVID/pneumonia or whatever it is, this thing, whatever started this thing that I have now that's really lingering. I really believe it's something super emotional and internal as well. Like I fully, fully believe that. And funnily enough, I actually had a consultation with a doctor of something called German New Medicine. If this intrigues you, you can look it up. There's videos about it on YouTube. Maybe you can find practitioners online or in your area if you want to. But it's this field of medicine that goes to the root causes of trauma for all illness. all of it. And I know that's like as woo-woo as things can get. But I think that there's no harm in doing all of these things at the same time, right? So they fully believe that there's no such thing as a viral infection. Like they don't believe in germ theory. They don't believe in like all these things that I really believe in, like scientific stuff. But that all illness is a result of a shock to our emotional system. And I believe that too. Like I believe these things can go hand in hand, right? So I was sharing, she was like, well, how did the illness start? And I said, well, my daughter came home with a cough. Everyone in school was coughing. So in this kind of medicine, if you can even call it that, they would say that, oh, something happened in school. It could be like a small little jolt or like a little shock of some sort that happened in school that scared the kids. And that's why the kids are coughing. Okay. Yeah, I know this sounds crazy. So bear with me. And that, so there's no such thing as a viral infection. It's all there. And I'm listening to this, like, you know, with a grain of salt, like I'm going to take home what resonates with me and like leave the other stuff, you know? So I don't believe that. I believe there are things as bacteria and viruses and, you know, we can get sick. Like obviously in the world, we've seen this like on a massive, massive scale. But what she was asking, what really intrigued me was what happened when you were little, right around the time you had your first asthma attack? Like what big events? And she was sharing that asthma and anything around the lungs, it's related to shock. It's related to feelings of being out of control, isolation, and grief. So for me to sit with that, like around that time of my life, what were the things that could have been a shock to my system as a four-year-old child that brought on this in the first place? And that to me, I really, really, I mean, fully believe. And I don't think it has to be that it's only traumatic or only emotional. I think all of these things can work together, you know, think illness and it's like a multifaceted, super nuanced thing, but that it's physical and emotional and spiritual and energetic and all these things, like they go hand in hand. And I've been really thinking about that, you know. It was the most traumatic time of my life when I was that age. It was this super scary time for me in so many ways. My parents divorced in this really violent way, and I barely remember anything from that time and the big traumatic things, like my mother's suicide attempts that came after that, and losing my stepdad in this really traumatic accident, and having that separation between my parents in a violent, like scary way. And then my mom checking out, my dad checking out, like not having anyone to hold me. You know, it's like a lot of stuff at that time. And when I think back to the asthma, like how it would manifest, of course, this feeling of fear, you know, this total fear of not being held, you know, not being able to breathe, not being able to literally invite in and hold the life force that sustains us, the inhale and the exhale, the breath. It's like deep down, I don't really trust that life has my back. Like I'm not held here. I'm unsupported. I'm all alone. And I think those were the big feelings that I was sitting with as a 4 and 5 year old, you know, like I'm really alone. Like I don't have anyone who has my back. I have to take care of myself, which is, you know, how do you do that when you're 4? You can't. It's like you're at the mercy of everything. Your parents are everything. It's all you have. And when I've been sitting with this, remembering these big asthma attacks that I would have. So first of it, that fear, like I can feel that fear present now. I can feel it in the asthma attacks I'm getting now. And I can feel how old it is. I can feel like it's like, this is not present moment. It's not. I can sense there's this old gripping energy present there. And at the same time, when I was little, the times in my life when I was really seen, you know, when everyone would drop everything and really see me, that's when I had the asthma, right? So it's almost like the asthma became a way for me to be held. Almost like I intelligently created that inside of myself to make sure that other people would hold me, to make sure that they would see me, to make sure that I would get the attention and the love and the support that I needed, you know. And I only got that through these really scary asthma attacks, you know. But when I think of it that way, it's like how intelligent are our beings that we create these things for ourselves. And then I'm not saying all illness is self-created or anything like that. You guys know I don't believe that. Like viruses exist, illnesses are real. Like I'm not a science denier, but I think there is something to this as well, right? Like my dad has asthma, my sister has asthma, it's genetic, but then we all know that trauma can be passed down through generations, right? So how much of it is purely physiological and like out of our control, and how much of it is passed down traumatic events, fear passed down through generations. Like, that's really real. And if you listen to this show, I'm sure you've had moments in your own life where you can really sense that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ancestral healing is real. We can heal now and heal then, right? By healing now, we heal what we couldn't heal then. We can heal for past generations too, and into the future. Like, we know that's so real. And I'm really sitting with right now, okay, like, what if this big lung breath related thing I'm going through now that's really lasting a long time, what if it's part of a massive healing that transcends space and time? What if this is me holding myself, or giving myself the opportunity to hold myself in a way I never was when I was a kid? To face the fear of I'm all alone, no one's going to take care of me. You know, that feeling of I don't know if I'm going to make it, that scary, scary place of being left all alone, of not being seen or held. And as an adult, being able to give myself that presence, you know, to give myself that love and to ask for support from the people in my life who are holding me right now, because I have so many of them, you know. And what if there's a way to heal what we call chronic illnesses, like asthma is chronic? I've never believed that. I never have. And I meet people all the time. I was talking to this amazing woman yesterday who healed asthma as an adult through trauma work. Like, trauma work was like a big piece of it. And of course, lots of other things and other ways and remedies and things like that as well. But I believe in my ability to heal. You know, I really do. And it's almost like this place where I'm at right now, it's like I can almost grasp it. It's like the answer is out there. You know, there's a big purpose in all of this. I can feel it, but I can't define it yet. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's all very elusive. I'm sure I'm not making any sense just sharing this with you right now, but there's something about what was then and what is now. And I'm going through a deeply challenging time right now with my mom and some strange things happening. And I can sense every time, because I haven't spoken to her for over a year now, or had her in my life for over a year. And as things come up that relate to her, it's almost like I can sense my body retracting. I can sense that inner child going like, I don't know if this is safe, you know. I don't know if it's a safe space to navigate back to that relationship. So it's a hard thing, you know, because if I were to sit here and go, everything I'm feeling right now is purely physiological. It has nothing to do with mindset, nothing to do with energy, nothing to do with my emotional state, nothing to do with trauma, nothing to do with ancestral stuff. Nothing to do with any of that. It's just physical, right? It's just physiological. What would I be doing? I would be sitting at my doctor's office asking for another x-ray, or asking for another round of antibiotics that didn't work the first time, right? I would be asking for more pharmaceuticals, and I wouldn't have like any kind of understanding of how to hold myself in any of these other ways. And it's like, okay, I did that pharmaceutical route. It didn't do anything at all. So how can I now hold myself in the space where I am and invite all of these other multifaceted parts of who I am? Like, healing, it's not just that physical thing where like, oh, you have a bacterial thing here, let's kill it with medicine. It's okay, that wasn't it. So what is it? How can I hold my inner child right now, you know, and sit with the discomfort and the fear of what's coming up right now, and maybe even make the connection between things that are triggering me now as an adult that are taking me back to that same wound from when I was a kid. And also, like, being able to navigate this beautiful, safe life that I have right now. I get to raise a 4-year-old that's totally safe. She's so safe. She's so happy. She's, you know, so held. She's the most held kid in the world. Like, how beautiful is that? And I think part of giving that to her is also giving that to myself. And maybe every day sitting with this illness right now, if I can hold myself in all the parts of myself, you know, hold myself when I'm scared, hold myself when I'm worthless, hold myself when I'm beautiful and when I'm strong, like hold all of those parts of myself. Maybe that practice of being in that right now is healing what's meant to be healed. I don't know. I also have this feeling like I'm on the right track. And that's something, you know, in the big picture of everything, like I'm going somewhere and it's on the right track. And it's okay to not know every step of the way. You know, it's okay to fumble in the dark if you know that somewhere ahead there is light. And that's where I'm at right now. Stumbling through the dark, but trusting that there is light ahead. And I know, I can say this right now. Okay, you guys, I'm recording this. It's March 4th. I know there's going to be a moment in time where I refer back to, hey, remember that podcast I recorded where I didn't know if healing this illness and asthma, if it was real or not, if it was emotional or related to trauma or not. And look at it now. Look at this massive epiphany. Like now I know everything made sense. It had to be exactly that way. I'm going to record that podcast, probably not next week, but it's going to come, right? And I'm going to refer back to this moment of March 4th when I don't know anything. Remember March 4th where I knew nothing and I was trying to make sense of all of these pieces? Wow, how beautiful, you know, how beautiful. And if we all could get a little closer to holding ourselves and the beauty of ourselves in this moment in the not knowing, so that we don't have to wait too long for that moment to arrive, you know, like that's the practice. And I know this podcast was kind of rambly and maybe didn't make a lot of sense. And if it didn't, it's because I can't make sense of my own life right now. You know, I love sharing those episodes where like, hey, guess what? I've figured out. And that's not where I am, you know. And maybe that's not where you are either, right? Maybe we're in this collective space right now where we're figuring out all the pieces of our healing and all the pieces of our lives. And that's okay. So if I can leave you with one thing, it's to hold yourself and to remind yourself that for every moment in your life when you weren't held and you needed someone there but no one came, you can hold yourself now. You can hold yourself now, every part of you, exactly the way you are. Thank you so much for being here with me now. And thanks for giving me space to figure everything out. I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen and subscribe to other great episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. You can find all of them at yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you normally get your shows. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.